Most Canadians, including Christians, have no idea of how few organizations are devoted to bringing a Christian perspective to our civil governments.
On the feature this week, a year-end look at the state of Christian political activism in Canada and ARPA's role in that area. In the news, an advisory group in Ontario has delivered its report on how to move forward on the euthanasia file. Also in Ontario, a new report on human trafficking and prostitution. Another win for ARPA in the Trinity Western case. And some reaction to the final report from the Truth and Reconciliation Commission.
And now, Lighthouse News. Lighthouse News is a presentation of ARPA, the Association for Reform Political Action. Here's your host, Al Sebring.
A panel of the legislature in Ontario has come back with its report on euthanasia. That panel was made up mainly of activists who are known to be in favor of legalizing euthanasia, so the recommendations are not surprisingly quite biased in that direction. For example, what's been getting a lot of media attention is the notion that children as young as 12 should be able to make decisions about ending their own lives. But Alex Schadenberg from the Euthanasia Prevention Coalition says the report may actually be even worse than that.
The whole issue of the 12-year-old child is the example that was used when they were being asked by the media about that section of the report. It doesn't actually say anything about a 12-year-old, it says children. So my concern is very much, yes, for a 12 or a 10-year-old child with cancer whose parents are distraught, thinking that maybe the best thing for my child is euthanasia. I'm also even more concerned about the newborns with disabilities, because in the Netherlands and Belgium, the extension of euthanasia to children was primarily to deal with the problem of euthanasia of children who are born with disabilities. So parents have a newborn child and the child has spina bifida and the parents are distraught. The doctors are saying, oh, your child might never walk, and they react by saying, well, then I would rather the child be dead. And that's what I'm concerned about, because we already have a eugenic culture, whether we like it or not. We already have a culture that looks at certain people as being worthy to die.
A couple of related notes. A federal panel appointed to look at the same issue delivered its report to the Health and Justice Ministers last week. So far, that report has not been released publicly. Quebec's new euthanasia law will stay in effect at least till the new year. It was struck down earlier this month, but the province appealed, and a judge said the law could stay in effect until an appeal ruling was issued. The appeal was heard last Friday. Judgment was reserved. Interestingly, the feds have switched sides in this case. Under Stephen Harper, they were arguing against the Quebec law. Last Friday, federal lawyers intervened, arguing in favor of the province's position. In other news, the Ontario government got a report last week on human trafficking. The report shows it's a real problem in the Montreal-Ottawa-Toronto-Windsor corridor, and it calls on the government to do more to help women caught up in those trafficking rings. Julia Beasley is a policy analyst with the Evangelical Fellowship of Canada. She's been working on prostitution issues for a long time, and she says there's a disconnect between this report, which recognizes the problem, and the Ontario government's ongoing efforts to get Ottawa to rescind the new law against prostitution.
Part of that is the work of the sex industry lobby. They keep saying trafficking is one thing, prostitution is another. And while that may be true in a minority of cases, reports like this tell us that in the vast majority of cases, they are one and the same. It makes a pretty direct link.
Some good news for ARPA on the Trinity Western file. Lawyer Andre Schutten has been granted intervener status in the Ontario portion of that case. A lower court there had ruled the Law Society was justified in denying law graduates from TWU a license to practice law in Ontario. ARPA's application to intervene in the case was denied at the lower court, but Schutten will be allowed to appear before the court on the appeal. The case likely won't be heard until late summer. Final reports out now from the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, the group that was looking into the residential schools issue in Canada. At issue is what to do in the wake of demonstrable abuse and neglect suffered by children who were shipped off to those schools from their reserves, mostly in the first half of the last century. ARPA policy analyst Colin Postman says the report is missing one key element.
There's no doubt that the Aboriginals in Canada have had very difficult history. But if the Aboriginals are only to be seen as victims and nothing more, we'll never be able to move forward. There must really be an acknowledgement of wrong, an apology, forgiveness, and then a new direction. That's what's necessary. And that's really a spiritual act. It's not a political one. The Aboriginal organization Gathering Nations understood that well, and they've said in the past, expressing sincere forgiveness founded on the unconditional love of our Father and Creator is the key to unlock great doors to healing.
One of the recommendations in the report is that the government amend Section 43 of the Criminal Code, the section that currently allows limited corporal punishment. Harold Hoff is with the so-called Keep 43 Committee, which is working to ensure that the law is not changed, and he says the commission's recommendation is misguided.
All that Section 43 does is protect parents from prosecution when they respond to their child's behavior by moderately spanking them on the seat with an open hand. That's all the law allows for. It doesn't allow for any physical punishment in any other setting, including schools, public or private. I think this is where they've got this wrong. They look back at what happened, you know, all this abuse that has happened to the First Nations children in the past, and think that this law that we have today somehow protects or enshrines that, and it doesn't.
Hoff has written to the Prime Minister and the Justice Minister to clarify the situation. Back with more after this.
Members of Parliament are now back in their ridings for the Christmas break and will be there until Parliament resumes on January 25th. This is a great time to meet with your MP on the issue of euthanasia. Your MP is your voice in Ottawa. MPs enjoy meeting with constituents, so take advantage of the opportunity to voice your concerns. Visit arpacanada.ca to read up on the issue and then call their office to book a meeting.
And we're back on the program, the final edition of Lighthouse News for calendar 2015. We thought we'd look back at the year and look ahead a little bit to 2016. Executive Director Mark Penninga is on the line with me. Mark, welcome to the program.
Great to be with you, Al.
Talk to me a little bit about 2015, the year that was. Highlights, lowlights, from our perspective.
There's been some huge developments through the year. Encouraging a momentous win with the Nova Scotia court decision on Trinity Western University. The Loyola Supreme Court decision was another very encouraging development, but also some lows, like the Alberta government rushing through that horrendous piece of legislation, Bill 10. But amongst all of this, the one issue that's consumed ARPA the most through 2015 was responding to the Supreme Court of Canada Carter decision, which struck down our euthanasia laws. We've devoted hundreds, maybe even thousands of hours to this because we recognize Canada's at a threshold right now. If this decision stands, we're crossing a line that Western society hasn't crossed in hundreds, maybe even thousands of years. As a nation, we'd be saying that it's okay for some people to be able to kill others because they don't measure up to our standards or maybe to the standards they set for themselves. We see it as a duty to help our members of Parliament, to help the broader public understand the gravity of crossing this line. A few weeks ago, I was meeting with a member of Parliament on this issue. He's actually NDP. I was trying to help him to take this issue more seriously than he was. And I said, you cross a bridge when you drive into town. Let's say you're driving along and you come across a young man who's standing at the edge. He's looking into the water and it's clear to you that he's thinking about jumping. He's thinking about taking his own life. What do you do? Well, the MP acknowledged, you stop, you talk to him, you try to discourage him. And I said, when he explains how miserable his life is right now, the struggles he has, is there ever going to be a time where you say to him, you're right, buddy. You know what? Your life is miserable. Go ahead, you go jump. End your life while you still can. Of course not. But as I said to this member of Parliament, that is what, in effect, Parliament would be doing. We'd be saying to all those who feel inadequate that indeed their lives should be ended. So that's why ARPA's been putting so many resources into making our parliamentarians aware that there is another option. They are still able to continue to prohibit euthanasia even after that Supreme Court case.
Let's look at the organization for a minute, ARPA itself. Some changes, some expansion in the past year. It's been pretty good.
We've been so blessed, Al. Blessed with answers to our prayers for new staff. We received Colin Postma as a new policy analyst this summer, and Colin moved up to Ottawa to be able to work from our Ottawa office there. That office, too, has been an incredible blessing that we can finally work together as a team and also be within blocks of Parliament. We've been blessed with new researcher Anna Nienheis for the We Need a Law campaign, and more recently with a full-time assistant, Cassie Knecht. So when we look back at this year, we're just so thankful for all the extra help. And we thank the donors as well who make these steps possible.
Which brings up another issue. The whole notion of Christian political engagement in Canada. Is it on the increase? Is it on the decline? I'm sensing that ARPA is becoming proportionately a larger player in that whole sort of paradigm.
It was about 5 years ago I read a book called The Armageddon Factor by Marcy MacDonald. She made the case that the Christian right was influential, it was large, it has Stephen Harper's ear. That was a fabricated myth 5 years ago, and it's even less true today. Most Canadians, including Christians, have no idea of how few organizations are devoted to bringing a Christian perspective to our civil governments. The groups that do exist, they're generally shrinking and even closing their doors. I'd say the biggest reason for this decline is not the organizations themselves, it's the spiritual health of Canadian churches, especially among the broader evangelical churches. There's been a real trend by the church leadership, by the pastors and others, to not speak to not preach about anything that's considered controversial or political. And when the people aren't being fed spiritually about what it means to be a salt and light, we shouldn't be surprised when they're largely silent or even falling on the wrong side of a lot of these issues. So yes, on the one hand, it's encouraging to see how ARPA is having a larger and larger voice in Canada. On the other hand, we'd most welcome it if other organizations came along our side, new organizations or current organizations, if they could grow. This isn't a matter of competition. This is a matter of having an effective voice, speaking up for what's good and right, and ultimately being a faithful ambassador of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Is there really much reason for optimism when we look ahead to 2016, given that paradigm that you just described?
This morning, the ARPA staff had a video teleconference, and we looked back briefly on the year. In our call, we read from Isaiah chapter 40, and it was so fitting. Because on the one hand, a year like this can feel like a roller coaster with big ups and big downs. And yet, all of us agreed as staff that God is sovereign, that we can always depend on Him, and He is rolling out, ultimately, His plan. He's ultimately gathering His church from the four corners of the world. I still have my Bible open from Isaiah 40. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord's the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. His understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. And I'm not just speaking on behalf of myself. I think I'm speaking on behalf of the whole team with ARPA, that we've really experienced that sustaining hand in giving strength. So we have plenty of optimism because we know He's still holding this world in His hands. And it becomes a privilege then to be able to speak up for what He says is good and right in Canada in 2016.
So let's look ahead to 2016. Briefly, just some plans. What direction do you see the organization going in the coming year?
We're pretty excited about plans for 2016. And I'm going to share just one of the projects that we've just launched. It's called the Booties for Babies campaign, a goal of 1,000 pairs of baby booties. ARPA's going to gather them, and then we're going to ensure that those baby booties will reach every single member of Parliament and Senator. Then we want to bring all these booties together in front of the media and other parliamentarians so they can visualize just the immensity of the number of children whose lives are ended. And finally, we want to donate these all to pregnancy care centers. So it's one little project that doesn't involve writing letters, more emails. It's knitting, and we're excited to see what our listeners will be able to come up with.
Wow, that one looks really interesting. I'm going to close with this. What are you most thankful for when it comes to doing the work that ARPA does and that you do as the executive director?
I could come up with so many things that we as a team are thankful for. If I would just give the top two, I would say we're thankful for praying supporters in churches. We experience the impact that those prayers have. For example, what I said earlier about not feeling like we are on a roller coaster, but instead taking the challenge one by one with the confidence knowing that God remains in control. We are also so thankful to have churches that continue to preach the full gospel. What I mean is we don't have to convince many of our listeners and readers about the merits of what we're advocating for. Protecting fundamental freedoms or upholding the sanctity of human life. These are messages that they're getting from their pulpits, from their teachers, from their elders. And that's not something we take for granted because we see in so many churches that's not the case. So we're most thankful, ultimately, of course, to our faithful God. Again, through 2015, He's given us everything we've needed. He's given us so many reasons for encouragement where we can see fruit from our labors. So we thank God, and we're excited to see what the Lord will do through 2016.
Okay, on that note, Mark, have a great Christmas.
And I'd like to thank all of our listeners and wish them a very blessed Christmas and 2016. We look forward to working with you and alongside you as we together seek to shine the light of God's word to our civil governments.
And on that note, I'm just a little programming note to finish up as well. No Lighthouse News next week and no Lighthouse News podcast in the first week of January. Starting in January, the program will be delivered on Tuesdays instead of Mondays, and the first show of the new year should be in everybody's inbox on January 12th.
This has been Lighthouse News, delivering news and commentaries on today's current events to equip Christians for their task in the public square. Questions or feedback?
You can leave us an audio comment by clicking on the answering machine button at the top of the Lighthouse News homepage, or you can send us an email, info@arpacanada.ca. Be sure to join us again next month for another edition of Lighthouse News.